Right now, I want to introduce you to my guest joining me here via the phone. I have Bob Puglisi on the phone, and he is, as many people, someone who has worn many hats. And the hat he's wearing today is author, but, you know, in his lifetime, he's been an IT professional, an actor, a playwright, a screenwriter, producer, and librarian. And he's already published, what, five books now as an author?
Five. I just was counting them, but what, I had a pile here, and one was missing.
Which one's missing? Do you remember? No.
It's called Almost a Wise Guy.
Almost a Wise Guy. Okay, that's the memoir about your cousin or uncle?
Yeah,
or
my, it was a friend of mine.
Oh, friend of yours, okay. And then he narrates it, right? I saw that there's an audio book.
Yeah, there's an audio book out now that he narrates.
Right. And then
it's an interesting story. He was involved in the mafia. He was dealt with Cuban drug lords, the Mexican mafia. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And he turned his life around. After about 30 years, he had a young daughter, and he wanted to make a good life for her. And he changed his whole life, and it's helped a lot of other people. So it's a really an interesting story.
Okay.
And a story about redemption, getting a second chance in life.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. They've been shopping it around in Hollywood, trying to get a TV series made, but then the COVID crisis hit, and just about everything's on hold.
Yeah, that's for sure. Literally everything is on hold.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty incredible. I mean, I'm talking to you over an ocean, but it must be 3,500 miles away.
Yeah, you're in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, we could do this. That's great.
I know, it's fantastic. So Bob, your most recent book is entitled The Hanalei House. We don't want to give a whole lot away about it, but I would love to just find out, you know, what inspired you to write a book set here in the North Shore of Kauai.
Yeah, well, it's a place I love, and I've been there quite a few times. My wife and I come out and usually stay at the Westin in Princeville. We have a timeshare there. So we just kind of fell in love with the place. And, you know, we're suckers for tourist places. I mean, we lived in Crested Butte, Colorado for about almost 20 years, and now we live in Santa Fe. And I don't know if we're going to stay here, but, you know, Kauai would be a nice place to live, too. But so we're sort of attracted to that. But getting back to your question, this is a sequel to Unassisted Living, and that was the first book I wrote. And it was actually back in when I was in my 30s. I'm actually 75 now. When I was in my 30s, I wrote a screenplay called Someday You'll Be Old. And it was one of these kind of what-if stories. My wife, Anita's mom, was a really feisty little Italian lady. And, you know, she would never do the things that Mildred does in my stories. But she just had that character and that gumption and that spunk that inspired me to say, what happens if we have to put her in a nursing home? And so that's how this story kind of evolved. And so when I started writing novels, I took out this old screenplay. I had been working with a producer in Hollywood who was trying to get a TV series or somebody to make a movie of that screenplay, and it never went anywhere. So as I started writing these books, I said, well, I'm going to start looking at some of these old screenplays I wrote. And this would happen to be one of them. So what happens is Mildred...
Now, for some reason, you're cutting out. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's my end or your end.
It might be. Maybe it's me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but every once in a while, you're kind of cutting out. So I just want to bring that to your attention. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I have one of these headphone sets with a microphone. So maybe I need to hold it closer to my mouth. So anyway, Mildred lived on the Lower East Side of New York, and they wanted to tear down her tenement and put in condominiums. And so she leads a revolt, a riot of senior citizens who throw rotten fruit and vegetables at the police. And they lose the battle, and she winds up getting in a lot of trouble. She's put in custody of her daughter, who's a prima ballerina, who travels a lot and lives in Los Angeles. But she finds a nice place for Mildred to live. And the same developer winds up coming to L.A., and they run into him again. But one of Mildred's dreams was always to leave New York at some point and go live in Hawaii. She's just tired of the cold weather in New York, and loved going to Waikiki and shopping, you know, on the street there and going to McDonald's and doing all that. So that's her dream. Something terrible happens, and I don't want to give that away, but she winds up staying with these people in this small little retirement house. And then they decide that the whole group is going to move. Stanley, the owner, is offered a partnership in a farm in Hanalei. Some old hippie friends of his from the Bay Area, and that's how they all wind up in Hanalei. And they buy this big plantation house and about a 10-acre farm. And you know, this is all stuff I had to make up because it wasn't quite the way, you know, it really was. So.
So just to let people know, this is actually set in like the mid-70s, in the North Shore in the mid-70s.
The first book was 1975 setting. This one is 1976. And it turns out the same developer winds up wanting to develop a condominium project, very unpopular one with the locals, right next to their farm. And the story just progresses from them. And it's all from there. And it's just all these funny twists and turns and surprises. And it's a very uplifting story about people that are, you know, aging like myself. It's not over. You know, you still have something to fight for.
Definitely. So if you just tune in on Speaking with Bob Puglisi, his latest book is entitled The Hanalei House, of course, obviously set in Hanalei. And, you know, I did read the book. Thank you so much. And I'm guessing you must be also a baseball fan because Little League Baseball, of course, Little League Baseball was big here in the 70s. Like the people that lived at Taylor Camp actually had a Little League team. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You know, I couldn't. When I was there in October doing research. And I was trying to find somebody who could tell me about the Little League, but nobody seemed to know anything. And there was a couple of organizations I called, and they never returned my calls. So, one of the things I wanted to do was not have it only be about older people. I wanted to have some young people involved, and they started an acting school, and the one kid gets involved in baseball in the Little League. So that was my reason for it. Putting the baseball in. Now I am a fan, of course, but
well, Sam, you seem to know so much about how what makes a good pitcher and everything. So I was like, you must have some experience with baseball.
So did you enjoy the book?
I did. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah. It was fun to write, and I loved the cover. I had a new person I worked with for the first time. She came up with this terrific cover.
It is really nice. You know what, Bob? I have one suggestion because I think it maybe the mic you're using is just, it's really not very good. And so are you using cell phone or what are you using?
Yeah, let me unplug and I'll just talk to you through the phone.
I think that'd be better, yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Maybe just put it on speakerphone or something.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. This is better. There was just some weird, like, static thing going on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Hang on.
Yeah, just... You could put your phone on speakerphone, probably.
Can you hear me now?
I can. This is way better. There was this weird... Well, you'll see when you get the recording. It was just a disconcerting sound before.
You know, so I just started doing these phone interviews. I did one here in Santa Fe. And so I thought, well, let me go out and get a headphone set with, you know, a little microphone, but I guess it doesn't work very well. So I'm learning. This is we're going through a big learning process here in everything we do.
Yeah, we're all learning. There's a lot of learning going on. Some of us are learning and some of us are not, but we're all experiencing life in a new way.
Yeah.
So the Hanalei House, so where can people get a copy of your book?
Well, of course, on Amazon, they could, I don't know too many, I don't know if there's many local bookstores on the island there.
There's really only one, actually, in Hanapepe.
Yeah. Oh, and bookstores could order it through, you know, through normal distribution channels. But of course, it's always available on Amazon. It's in a Kindle format, and it's also on print, paperback, like the one I said to you.
Right.
And my other book, Unassisted Living, which is the first story of these people, is also available that way. And it's a great book for book clubs, too. In fact, they included a bunch of questions in the back, discussion questions for book clubs. And in fact, I have some. I think a book club is where I was a librarian in Crested Butte, Colorado. Their book club is reading it now. They just started on it, and I guess we're going to do a Zoom conference meeting.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. So now the cover is beautiful. So it looks. Is it a combination of a photo and then illustration? It looks like it is, isn't it?
Yeah. And inside the book, it mentions the people my mm-hmm. cover designer got it from. I think it was one guy did the cover. I don't know. I don't see it here. But yeah, it was something you could buy, and then. You know, we added my title and all of that, all the other stuff on there.
Right. Beautiful. So yeah. Is there any particular character in your book that is a little bit autobiographical? Or or do you find yourself in any of these characters?
I think maybe Mr. Kulak.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy who's 80 years old and paddle boards and he likes to take his clothes off. He's a nudist.
Right. He could have moved down to the camp now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's where he meets them at the camp. Mm-hmm. And I just love the story of the camp. It's just that really helped me to kind of formulate a story around the camp, too, involving the hippies. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all hippies back then. Most of us were.
Right. Yeah, well, and I love on the cover of your book, you say, can a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens change the world? Of course, you know, as Margaret Mead said, that's the only thing that ever does, right?
That's right. That was from her quote. In fact, I quote her towards the end of the book.
Right, yes, definitely. Yeah. So now I know you love Kauai, but what else inspired you to? I mean, what even inspired you to become an author? Because you have this very diverse background. I mean, what did you write as a child at all, or did all of a sudden you were like, "Wait, I'm going to put a pen to paper"?
Yeah, I always wanted to be an author. I said write novels. I remember reading all those great novels, Treasure Island and the Tom Sawyer novels, and you know, I wanted to do that too. Something I always mention when I do book readings, but. You know, growing up on the East Coast, people have jobs and careers. And it wasn't until I moved to California to actually San Francisco at first that I met people who had dreams. And the jobs were the things that helped them support, you know, achieving their dreams. And there's a big difference in the lifestyle. And when I got to California, then I started meeting people who were writing novels and writing screenplays. And then I lived in L.A. for 25 years, and I got into acting because I wanted to be a better writer, and I liked acting, so I kept doing that. And, you know, one thing leads to another. You get into the Screen Actors Guild to get a better part, then next time you go out for something and you start getting better auditions. So you get caught up in that, but I continued to write screenplays and I wrote plays. Here's the thing. I was going to NYU at night after I got out of the Army, and a friend of mine was murdered by her estranged husband. And I had a writing English composition class. We had to write something about her, about every week. And my mom called me and told me about it, and I was so moved at it. I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't actually sit down and do my assignment. And then finally, I think the night before the class, I said, "Well, I'm going to write about my friend Vicky and what happened." And that was the beginning of my first novel. I didn't know it at the time, but it actually evolved into a novel that I worked on most of my adult life. So I always tell people it took me 30 years to write it. And then when I finished it in 2013, I did the whole thing, try to get agents, publishers, and I was getting anywhere. And an author friend of mine said,
print it as a Kindle book. He said, that's what I'm doing. So I did it, and people liked it. I was surprised. So it took me about another 6 months, and I'd sold quite a few Kindle books, and I had nothing to sign when I went to book signing. So I made up some business cards with the cover of the book on it and my name and some contact information on the back, and I would give that out at the readings because I had nothing else to sign. Said, yeah, Bob DeGlisi will be here tonight. He has nothing to sign, but he'll be reading from his new book, Railway Avenue. So that was the beginning of my novel writing career.
Oh, fantastic. So if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Bob DeGlisi. His latest book is called The Hanalei House, obviously set here on the beautiful North Shore. And it's got a lot of interesting characters. It's set in the 1976, and that was a time when a lot of things started, you know, started to begin changing, and although they've changed.
That's right. It was the beginning of a lot of development, and you know, going back now and doing my research, I could see, you know, places, you know, there's no room for anything, you know. Although there's a lot of preserved land, which is the great thing about Kauai.
I know, thank goodness. Now, I do have to do let people know you're listening to Kauai Community Radio. It's 1:30 here on the Garden Island. This is Tracy. You're listening to Kauai Vibrations. And my special guest, Bob DeGlisi, joins me via the phone from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I do need to run this PSA because we are in hurricane season right now. So I'll be right back with you, Bob.
Aloha. This is Congressman Ed Case.
And this is Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard reminding you to be storm ready.
Make sure you have 2 weeks of food, water, and medication for your ohana, including pets.
We are still in the midst of a pandemic, so pack face coverings and disinfectants, too.
Know where your nearest shelter is and be prepared to evacuate.
Things can change quickly in a disaster, so sign up for alerts and stay tuned for the latest information.
For more tips, visit ready.gov/hurricanes.
Malama pono.
All right. So I'm back with Bob DeGlisi. So, Bob, now you, like I said, you have five books out. You want to just mention the titles of the others and a little bit about that in case people are interested?
Yeah. Yeah. I should mention, too, that the reason why there is another book, The Hanalei House, is I didn't know how to end unassisted living. And so I ended it with them moving to Kauai, and because Mildred inspired that. That's where she wanted to go live, was in Hawaii. So that's how that's how that happened. But my first book, the novel, which was about my friend's murder, and it was really semi-autobiographical. It was my growing up. I grew up on a street where the Long Island Railroad ran through it, and we had a big 20, 25, 30-foot wall in front of our house, and the trains ran in two directions, back and forth from Long Island to Manhattan. So it was a really interesting neighborhood, and I had always wanted to write about growing up there. And then when my friend was murdered, it gave me a plot. It's really a tragic love story, and it's really moving.
Is that the Railway Avenue?
That's Railway Avenue,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And then the next one that I wrote is Almost a Wise Guy, and I mentioned that earlier about my friend who was involved in the mafia and is a drug addict, and he's helped many people after getting sober. So that was my second one. And then I wrote Midnight Auto Supply, which is another coming-of-age story back in the old neighborhood of Corona. But this one is set during the Vietnam War, and it's kind of a rich man, poor man story. The rich kid who has a 1964 Pontiac Bonneville convertible, this beautiful car, gets a new car every year because his father doesn't drive, so he buys him a new car, and he drives his father wherever he has to go. And as what happens, father says he's had a few accidents, and his father tells him, if you have another accident, I'm not going to pay you to get it fixed. Well, sure enough, he has an accident on a really big, important day of his life, and so it really changes his life forever. And then I wrote Unassisted Living, which was the one prior to the Hanalei House.
Right. Do you have an idea for your next book?
I have a few, but I'm not so motivated right now. It's just hard to get you know, get started on things. I do a blog, so I try to keep writing when, by doing my blog, but I'm also concentrating on marketing my books now, doing Amazon ads and things like that, at least through this pandemic, and then maybe I could focus on what I want to write. I do want to write, there's a story I want to write. I've started it a few times. It's a war bride story, World War II war bride, and I was trying to work that into a lifetime kind of story where it evolves into they're married and he has Alzheimer's, and but how they met and how they got over here to the United States. So I really need to go to Italy to do a little more research for that one. And a couple other things I have in mind, but I wrote in some of my blog on my website, bobpuglisi.com, there are a number of blogs about, I call them my Hollywood tales, and just stories about things that happened to me and my wife in Hollywood. My wife, Anita, was an executive at Disney, and she was there when the home video entertainment department was being formed, and she retired as a vice president. And but yeah, so a lot of stories like that, how I got on the Tonight Show, you know, things like that. I've that's another book I've been thinking about writing, maybe both my wife's story and mine, and combining our life in Hollywood. You know, we never made it to the real big time, but we touched a lot of big people.
Well, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things happened. You know, my Jay Leno thing was, I was walking around Burbank one day after lunch and doing some shopping, and remember beepers? We used to wear beepers, all us actors, and it went off, and I called
like a pager.
And I,
the pager. Yeah, right.
Yeah, pager. Yep. But it beeped at you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, I was I get a page. I look at the number. It was a Burbank number. I call back, and then this guy answers. This is Scott at the Tonight Show. I was floored. And you know, when I got that part, because I always wanted to be on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and mm-hmm. I used to, every few months I'd send them a picture and a resume. And so when Jay Leno took over the Tonight Show, all those some picture or resume must have been in their files, and they called me.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then I got to work on the show probably about four times. Met Harry Connick Jr. one day when I was there.
Oh, fantastic.
So just little cute little stories like that. I might put them into a book.
I think that's a great idea. Everybody's always enthralled with Hollywood and, you know, in people's lives, you know, there's just so many avenues people can walk down in Hollywood, metaphorically.
Right. Yeah.
Well, if you just tuned in.
I want
to let people know, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Bob Puglisi. His latest book is entitled The Hanalei House. You can purchase it on Amazon. You can also find out more about his other books and also read his blog and or vlog, whatever they call them now. And that's at bobpuglisi.com. And we're going to have to wrap it up here in just a couple of minutes. So is there any little final thing you'd like to share?
You know, check with the Princeville Library, because when I was there in October, I donated unassisted living, and I also sent them the Hanalei House. So I don't know. This is during the pandemic, so I don't know if they've got any of those into circulation yet. But I was a librarian, so I always go to libraries and try to donate my books, and I've done a lot of readings and book signings at libraries, so they're always good places.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for the inspiration of just living your dream and taking it all the way through publishing.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Mahalo to you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Of course. So once again, Bob Puglisi, his latest book is The Hanalei House. It's a sequel to the Unassisted Living book he wrote. And this is set in, obviously, Hanalei back in 1976. It is a fiction, but, you know, there's definitely, you know, there's reality there because it's still Hanalei.
Right.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
Blessings
Bye
to
now.
You and Anita. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. So we're going to get back to some music. And big mahalo to Bob for giving us a call here. And he's got lots of I'd like to check out some of his other books, too. So anyway, here we go with Angelique Kidjo. We are one. Yes, we are. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday, and thank you so much for tuning in to Kauai Community Radio.